Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
All right, Colossians chapter 3, I'll begin reading with verse 1. The Word of God said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Well, as you know, today is the first day of 2017. We find ourselves on the edge of a new year. We also find ourselves on the edge of an old year. We find ourselves at an opportunity where we can reflect back on 2016 and look forward to 2017. It is also a good time for God's people to take an inventory of their walk with the Lord. We should take a close look at our relationship with Christ. We need to examine ourselves. We need to see where we have been and where we are and where the Lord wants us. Now notice that, where the Lord wants us to be. We can all go around and we can discuss where we want to be. Where we want to be in March. Where we want to be in July. Where we want to be in September. Where we want to be in December. But it may be an entirely different year if we ask the Lord where He wants us to be. What He has in store for us. Maybe what His plan is and what His will is for our life. Now, I don't know about your house, but our home often becomes cluttered. Cluttered with a lot of things that we no longer need. And of course, there are the few things that just need to be relocated. And in the process of cleaning up and relocating, we uncover a few things that give us the opportunity to walk down memory lane. And it seems like every year, well, we call it spring cleaning, but it kind of takes place in different homes and different times. But when we all look at our homes and our houses and we see these things going on, we always find those three things. Those things that need to be gotten rid of, those things that need to be repurposed, and those things that need a reflection. Put it another way, there are some things that need to be retained, some things that need to be released, and some things that need to be remembered. As I read these verses, I find that the church, the children of God, the saints of God, to do the very same thing in our spiritual lives. When we look at our lives and we compare them to the light of God's Word that is shed upon them, we become challenged to retain a few things, to release a few things, and to remember a few things. So I want to open these verses today and I want to share with you the challenges that I have found contained within them. I want to show you that God has a plan for your life. And that He wants certain things from your life. That He has a right to expect and even demand those things from our lives. Now these things don't apply to just you, they apply to me and they apply to all of the saints of God. So notice the challenges that are contained within these verses as I preach on the thought, opportunities for a new year. We first notice in verses 1 and 2 that there are some things that need to be retained. I spoke earlier of taking an inventory in the house, doing a little house cleaning. Well, when we find some things that are important to us, we don't throw them away, do we? When we dig up those things that are important to us, we find a place for them. Aha, there's where that is. I want to keep that. I got some fond memories of that. I've got a use for that. I have a purpose for it. I want to hang on to it. So I relocate it into a different area where I can get my hands on it quickly and easily so I can put it to some good, positive purpose in my life. Well, in a spiritual sense, Paul is telling us that there are a couple of precious spiritual possessions that we ought to hang on to this morning. First, we need to hang on to an awareness of our foundation. In the first part of verse 1, we see that Paul tells us we are risen with Christ. Now, he starts out with the little word, if. If is not a state of possibility. It is a declaration of a reality, though. Paul is saying, since you are risen with Christ, when he says if, since you're risen, if you are saved this morning, and if you know that you have been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been risen with Christ. Not risen by Christ. Risen with Him. That's what God's Word says. Paul is discussing our spiritual position. When Christ died on Calvary, every person that would ever place faith in Him, every person that would ever come to Him and call upon His name, every person that would ever ask Him to come into their heart and save them of their sin, died with Christ on the cross. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The life which I now live in the flesh is a life that is lived by faith in the Son of God. Can we say that this morning? Can we say that that is where our heart is today? To live by faith in the Son of God. Not just to live for Sunday morning to come and say, I've been to church. But to live by faith in the Son of God. To be called a son of the King. A child of God through Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is today. What a blessing it is to be aware of the foundation that I have set before me. What a blessing it is to see God work in and through us and in and through our lives to propagate the gospel through us. In a spiritual sense, we died to the penalty and the power of sin when Jesus died on the cross. Because I'm dead to sin, I don't have to worry this morning about being punished for my sin. I am saved from the consequences of sin. That doesn't mean I don't sin. That doesn't mean I don't fail God. But praise God, because of the blood of Jesus, I don't have to worry about the consequences of being punished. I don't have to worry about hell this morning. If you're saved today, you don't have to worry about hell this morning. Now, if you're not saved, that's a different story. But if you are, you don't have that worry and your concern in your life. You have Jesus living inside of you. It is an awareness of the foundation of the faith that lives inside of you through Jesus Christ. Where's that going to take you through 2017? Well, not only is there an awareness of our foundation, but there is an attention to our focus. Since we've been raised to a new life in Jesus, we are told to seek those things which are above. When Jesus Jesus rose from the dead. We rose from the dead with Him. When He got up, every person that would ever be saved got up with Him. We must never forget that we were and we are dead to sin because of Jesus. When we see about seeking those things which are above, we've got to look at that word seek. It's a verb. It's in its present tense. It's also called an imperative mode. In other words, we're told to continually be seeking those things which are above. It's not something that's one and done. We don't come to church on Sunday morning to seek a spiritual word and then we don't worry about it again until next Sunday. No, we come on Sunday morning to worship, to lift up God, to glorify Him for the work that He has done and is doing in our life. And we get that word and we have a foundation that is strengthened and we move on that through the week and we are constantly seeking the Lord's presence and the Lord's purpose in our life. And through that, we are to set our affections on things above, not on the world. That may come as a surprise to many today, but the church is not to be controlled by the world. We have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We might have to have a building, and we might have to have the purposes just like any community building has, but this building is set aside for the worship and the glory of God. It is set aside to see people come in and to see their hearts brought to Jesus Christ. It is set aside for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It is set aside for lifting up in praise and glory the things of God in song and in service. This is a soul-winning station, a spiritual hospital for all of us who need to come and who should be coming to seek the balm of God, to be rubbed into our soul and to be brought before the throne of grace today. We ought to have our attention focused on the things that God wants us focused upon. In 2017, are we going to be refocused on the things that God wants? Or are we going to be worried about what we want? Are we going to be worried about what society wants? Are we going to be worried about what others out in the world may want, what they may expect of the church? Or are we going to be worried about and focused on what the Word of God tells us should be a priority in our life, which are the things of God, which are the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Son of God, and which is faith. Faith. We are told to focus our thoughts on heavenly things. And we've got a list. When we go through chapter 3 and even chapter 4 out of Colossians, we've got a list of some things that our focus ought to be upon. First of all, in chapter 3, verse 10, our focus ought to be on a deeper knowledge of Jesus. How much time do we spend focusing on Jesus? How much time do we spend worrying about what Jesus has to say? How much time do we spend actually asking Jesus to speak to our hearts? Next, we need to focus on a clean and a holy life. We don't need to be worried about what the world wants of us, what the world expects of us. We need to be focused on what God expects. We need to be focusing on how we can please God by living a holy life. Not holy in our perspective. Not holy in what someone else may determine holy. Not holy in getting all of the attaboys that we can get from our friends and our neighbors. But holy according to the Word of God. And holy in our life. I'm not talking about worrying about someone else's. I'm talking about worrying about me. Individually. Am I living a holy life? Am I living a clean life? Also in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, there are godly virtues that we should be focused on. If we have a deeper knowledge of Jesus and if we're seeking a clean and a holy life, then we're going to live a life of godly virtue. You see how these are beginning to build upon one another? If we live with godly virtues, then we are going to have holiness in our domestic life. And that's something that's very important. We can give a perception of holiness in public. We can give a perception of holiness in church. We can give a perception of holiness in the workplace. But when we get home in the evenings, when we kick off our shoes, when we sit in the recliner and kick back, what are we watching? What are we listening to? What's coming out of our mouth? Do we have a holiness in our domestic life? You see, if we have a deeper knowledge and we seek a deeper knowledge of Jesus, and if we are trying and striving to live a clean, holy life, and we're striving for godly virtues, then we are going to have a holiness in our domestic life. We can't help it. But if we can't have a holiness inside of our domestic life, then we don't have to worry about these others because we're going to be missing them too. Not only do we have a holiness in our domestic life, but chapter 3, verses 22 through chapter 4, verse 1 tells us there's a holiness in our social life. It won't be a fake. It won't be a show. It won't be something that we put on like a pretty set of clothes and then take off and hang them up. If we have a holiness in our domestic life, then we're going to have a sincere holiness in our social life. It will be something that will be seen. It will be something that will testify to the glory of God and to the power and authority of Jesus Christ. It won't be based upon how many scriptures we've memorized, and it's good to do that. It won't be based upon how many years of service we've had, where and what kind of service it's been. It'll be a testimony, a heartfelt, Holy Ghost present testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the holiness that we need in our life. That's the holiness we need in our home. That's the holiness we need in our social life. We also need an attention to an effective prayer life. Not just a prayer life. Chapter 4, verse 2 in Colossians tells us we need an effective prayer life. Effective is your prayer life. You can pray 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day. That if you're praying just to say you're praying, there's a good chance you don't have an effective prayer life. An effective prayer life reaches the throne of grace. An effective prayer life is a prayer life that comes from your heart because you love people. Because it breaks your heart to see men and women and boys and girls dying and moving into eternity to spend it in hell. An effective prayer life is a prayer life that says, I want to see people saved. I'm not worried about who they are. I'm not worried about what they've done. I'm worried about where they're going. I'm worried about eternity. An effective prayer life is a prayer life that comes from the heart. And then when we are talking about those things which are above, we can't leave out chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And that's a fruitful witness. A fruitful witness is a witness that draws others to Jesus. It may not draw them to you. It may not draw them to a particular denomination. It may not draw them to a particular congregation, but it draws them to Jesus. That's the things that are above. That's what Paul says in verse 2, that our attention and our focus should be upon. Is God leading our focus and putting our attention on these things? For 2017, Can we come together in one heart and in one accord this morning and say, I want God to put my focus and my attention on these things which are above? I hope so. I hope we can. That's my prayer. You see, just as some things must be retained and some things must be released, we have to think about what we need to let go of. In our spiritual lives, there are things that have to be let go of. There are some things that try to attach themselves to our life, and we can just call these things spiritual trash because they don't come from God. They may have a spiritual feeling. They may have a spiritual thought. They're false. And those things need to be found. They need to be identified in our life and they need to be kicked to the curb. Because they're not healthy. I'm talking about being spiritually healthy now. What can we let go of in our life that will improve our spiritual walk with God? In verse 2, Paul tells us that we are to focus our thoughts on heavenly things, and while we do that, we need to avoid getting caught up in the things of this world. We need to avoid getting caught up in things that will swamp our minds and hinder our walk. Out of the book of Colossians, Paul identifies some very dangerous distractions. In verse 8, Paul talks about false doctrine. When you look at verse 8, he talks about being spoiled. Chapter 2, verse 8, that is, tells us the word spoil. And it means to carry off, to be carried off. When something is spoiled in war, it is carried off. When the devil comes with false doctrine and he spoils us, we find ourselves being carried off. We find ourselves being carried off into something that is dangerous, something that is destructive. Well, how do we know false doctrine? We hear a lot of talk about false doctrine. We hear a lot of preaching about false doctrine. We have a lot of things that can be read about false doctrine. But what is it? What does it look like? Some things I want to make you aware of this morning. False doctrine first begins with a philosophy. It refers to the wisdom of men. Man has invented some very strange religions over the years. Any man-made belief system that exists today and that exists and does not glorify Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and does not place Him in the position of putting our faith in Him and Him only securing our eternal salvation, is a philosophy. It is something that is taught by a person, something that is backed up by other things than the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't back it up. It's a system that needs to be avoided by the believer. The Bible is not a philosophy. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is something that we are born into through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a new life. It is not a new way of thinking. It is not just a new set of behavior standards. The blood of Christ and being born into the kingdom of God will make a new person out of us. But it will be from the inside out. A philosophy works from the outside in. And it can only go skin deep. It can't go any deeper. The blood of Christ starts from the heart and works outward. Then there is vain deceit. Vain deceit is empty tricks. Might be a slick message. A whole lot of motivational speech. A whole lot of make you feel good. Every service, you'll get up and you'll walk out the door. Man, I feel good. That hits the spot. It lasts just about as long for you to get to the highway. And then it's over. It's a whole lot of slick message, a whole lot of empty tricks. There's no substance in it. The Word of God and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God will motivate you, but it'll motivate you in the right way spiritually from the inside out. It will motivate you by changing your heart and drawing you closer to Jesus. False doctrine comes from the traditions of men. And oh boy, this is a good one. We got to be careful with long-held belief. Just because we've believed something to be true and have been taught that it is true, and maybe by democracy a vote from around the community would tell you that it's true, we should not be basing a faith and a walk in it, no matter how good it sounds, until there's Scripture that shows it's biblical. I know a lot of preachers today who will sit down and say, I believe, I feel, I think, I fill in the blank. But they can't back it up with one verse of sound doctrine. Now, every one of us has things that we have an opinion over and a thought about. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when we start preaching it as a doctrine, we better have Bible to back it up. Paul says in the book of Acts that he preaches the whole counsel of God. It is a well-known standard and a well-known understood thing biblically that Scripture interprets Scripture. We're not going to have a thought, an idea, and a belief if there's not Scripture to back it up. And I'm not talking about a word out of this verse and a word out of that verse. I'm talking about a string of verses, as pieces of Scripture that fit together like a puzzle that actually establish a teaching and a doctrine from God's Word. There are many traditions that are being held up in churches today that have no Bible. And they're being taught as Bible. They're being taught as the things of God and the Word of God. And they have no Bible. It's dangerous. It's okay to have them. It's okay to do them. But it's not okay to teach them as the Word of God when it isn't. And then we have the rudiments of the world. Believers are warned against falling away from a mature faith to accept a simple doctrine. The Word of God isn't complicated. The Word of God isn't difficult. But the Word of God is not simple. It does make us think. That's why David and Moses and many of the Old Testament folks would meditate. That's why Paul speaks of meditation, concentrating, thinking about spending time absorbing and digesting the Word of God and letting it work into our lives. Mature, born-again believers desire that in their life. When we're looking ahead for 2017, what's our focus going to be on? Is it going to be on the things that are above, or is it going to be on the things of the world? It's easy to put our focus on the things of the world because that's what everybody else is looking at. That's what everybody else is doing. We don't have to worry about being led of God to do anything if we're focused on the world. What we have to worry about doing is just getting an attaboy from the folks that are around us. And too often we spend that time seeking the attaboys of the world, the attaboys of the friends, the attaboys of the neighbors. Instead of worrying about getting an attaboy from being popular, Let's fall back in love with Jesus. And because we're falling in love with Him, let's love one another. Let's adjust our focus. If we adjust our focus, we're also going to control foolish demands. Paul warns the believers to watch out for people who would put them back under the law. Legalism is something that is running rampant in our society today. Churches and denominations all across America and really around the world are setting their own legalistic standards. Well, if you're going to come worship with us, you're going to have to be holy. And in order to be holy, you're going to look this way. You're going to talk this way. You're going to dress this way. You're going to do this with this music, and you're not going to do that with that music. You're going to meet this standard, and you're going to meet that standard. Listen, there's nothing wrong with holding up good, godly, biblically sound standards for us to live by. But when we start implying and putting our own traditions, our own worldly rudiments, our own feelings, and we start setting aside a creed to follow that isn't found inside of the Word of God, we're practicing legalism. There's no place for it. Not in God's house. Christ done away with legalism. The Pharisees in the Bible were legalists. The Sadducees were legalists. The Romans were legalists. We don't need any more legalism. We need Jesus. That doesn't mean liberality. That doesn't mean going the extreme opposite into liberalism. Jesus was too liberal for the legalists, and He was too legal for the liberals. Jesus was right where He needed to be. He wrote the law. He knew what it took to enforce the law. He knew that it was through grace that everything happened. And if the church today is embracing grace and mercy and faith, and if we're preaching Jesus and being saved by Jesus and Jesus alone, then Jesus is going to make the changes and the direction in the hearts of people. It's all about Jesus. Are we going to be focused on Jesus? If we are, we're going to have to put away some fleshly deeds. See, I told you that liberalism didn't come into play here, and it doesn't. Because there's some very dangerous fleshly deeds that gets pulled into heavy liberalism. One of them is fornication. What is fornication? It's any sexual activity that takes place out of the confines of marriage. That's fornication. It's running rampant in our society today. Not just in America, not just in North Carolina, not just in McDowell County, but it's running rampant around the world. Pornography is at an astounding figure. As a matter of fact, do you realize the adult film industry pornography is one of the highest grossing industries that there is in Hollywood, California today? It's passing what takes place at the community theater. It has its own award shows, just like the movies do for the folks who have them. It's becoming acceptable and commonplace. It's fornication. It's sin. The Bible calls it what it is. The church, in too many cases, won't even discuss. Pastors will not even discuss it. Fleshly deeds have found their way into the hearts of those in the church. Fornication has found its way into the hearts of those in the church. Then there's uncleanness or impurity. Impurity goes beyond the physical act and goes into the thoughts of the mind and the motives of the heart. Why is fornication so popular? Why is fornication not dealt with? Why is fornication not talked about? Because of an unclean mind. Because of the impurity of the people. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that lust, adultery, fornication begins in the heart. Those sins are committed in the heart before they are ever acted out fleshly. And when we study that deeper and deeper, we find not just sexual sins or sins of passion, but all sin falls into that category. Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it may be, starts in the heart. That's where the sin is committed. There's inordinate affection or the wicked passions, lusts. Not just sexual passion, lust, but lust for money, lust for power, lusts for anything that gives an authoritative role, anything that gives influence. Inordinate passions are things that take us away from the things that are above and puts our thoughts and our focus on things that are worldly. The list goes on. Evil, concupiscence, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying, all of it are fleshly deeds. Deeds that find their way coming from our heart, out of our hands. And it takes away from the testimony of Christ. The message isn't about what not to do and what to do. The message is about looking at those things that are above. And it is about laying aside the things in our life that take our focus off of godly things. In 2017, where's our focus going to be? We've looked at some things that we need to hold on to. We've talked about some things that need to be released. We need to close today with some things that need to be remembered. We need to remember, first of all, that we could not have eternal life had there not been a death in Jesus Christ. Had Jesus Christ not willingly and sacrificially given His life on Calvary's cross, you and I would not have the opportunity to be called Christians today. It is saved by grace through faith and faith in Jesus alone that gives us that privilege. We also need to realize and we need to remember that there has been a deposit made, a divine nature inside of our heart. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in our heart. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit is taking up residence inside of your heart. And that divine deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart is what you need to guide you through the coming year. To guide you into what the Lord would have you personally involved with. That's a very key thing. We often become so collectively involved in things going on in the church that we never become personally involved. I would like to challenge you in 2017 to be personally involved in God's work. Find something to be personally involved with. Find somewhere to go, something to do locally in the community that glorifies God, some missions work, some evangelistic work, and take the Word of God, the work of God, into the community by sitting down and having a Bible study, by having a prayer meeting, by having time to meet with someone and talk Jesus over with someone to introduce them to Jesus through the Word of God. Let it be personal. Let Jesus not only be personal in your heart, but let him be personal through you, through your body, through your hands, through your work into the community. Get personally involved. Take that divine deposit of the Holy Spirit in your heart and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and open doors. We also need to remember that there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on in your heart and in your life for your devotion. Where will you be devoted to this? What will you be devoted to? Will you be devoted to the world? Will you be devoted to social matters, political things? Or will you be devoted to Jesus? Will you be devoted to the Lord and the Lord's work? Opportunities for a new year? They lie inside of your heart. Where your heart is, there will your body be. There will your thoughts be. There will your work be. Where your heart is. If your heart's in Jesus this morning, then your thoughts and your work and your intentions and your desires are going to be in Jesus. The opportunities for the new year lie in where your affections are. Set your affections, Paul says, on things that are above, not on the earth. But the opportunities that we have in 2017 are directly related to where our affections are. And I want to encourage you this morning to put your affections on Jesus. And on Jesus'